quality orders. And we have a quorum. We're missing Supervisor Zaleski, and I guess our youth and governance. Otherwise, everyone is here and accounted for. Minutes, I don't know that we have, I didn't see minutes. Were they?
Would you like a copy?
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, if you got them.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes from our previous meeting, do I have a second?
Second.
Move a second to approve the minutes, any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Chairman, committee members, supervisors. I really have nothing big, I know Gary's gonna be reporting on a couple of big items that have happened recently as far as our workload for the county. Kind of a real good money-making venture. I know the highway department has been just slammed and keeping up with all their new pavement projects. Parks, I've never seen the parks in as nice a condition. I actually was in five parks this weekend, five of our county parks. And the work that those people are doing, you know, we had a damp, kind of cool early part of the summer. Now things heated up and we lost some rain, but the condition they're keeping them. I was in Fox River because I know Nick told me that the football guys start up now and then the grounds get pretty beat up. And Silver Lake, we all know about the well problem we had over there and the keeping that park open, keeping everybody happy. The dog park tonight when I went by, not jammed with people, but everything just looks beautiful, you know. So I was in five of them, so I missed Kemper. Conditions are just remarkable. So that's all I have for comments. Any committee member? Yeah, okay, we'll move on to citizens' comments. And I don't think we have any here, so we'll move on there to division reports. And Gary is up first.
First item I have is your consideration of a resolution to approve the reappointment of Patrice Hall to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Committee. This is a reappointment from the county executive. Pat Hall is also, as you may know, the medical examiner for Kenosha County. She's been in that position as medical examiner since 2011. She's been a member of the County Traffic Safety Committee since 2012. So I've had the opportunity to be a member of the Traffic Safety Committee with Pat for a number of years. Her background, she has a bachelor's degree in forensics investigation and mortuary science, and she actually has a master's degree in criminal justice, which all is very helpful when it comes to the analysis that the Traffic Safety Committee needs to do on some of the accidents that occur throughout the county. She regularly comes prepared to the meetings and provides a lot of data on circumstances that may have contributed to the accidents. So I would highly recommend that she be reappointed to the Traffic Safety Commission, as she certainly is a very valuable member.
Is there any discussion? There is only motion to approve. I'll second.
Move a second to approve Patricia Hall for a reappointment of the Traffic Safety Commission. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Second item is consideration of a resolution to approve the jurisdictional transfer agreements of segments of County Trunk Highway N between I-94 and 128th Avenue, and a segment of County Trunk Highway S between State Trunk Highway 31 and 39th Avenue. And I did bring a few maps just to orient you to the location of these highways that we're going to be discussing. These are actually two separate issues that are somewhat related. Let me talk first about the Highway S segment. What you're approving tonight is the jurisdictional transfer of that segment of Highway S between 31 and 39th Avenue, which means that if the county board approves the jurisdictional transfer, and then the city council also approves the jurisdictional transfer, it will no longer be a county trunk highway. It will become a city street, and it will thus become the city of Kenosha's responsibility for everything associated with the road, from the maintenance of it to permitting to any of the costs associated with having the authority over it. So this issue actually goes back to a memorandum of understanding that was executed between the Kenosha County, the city of Kenosha, the developer of the Amazon project, and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. During the development of that project, there was a T grant issued to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Kenosha County to do some improvements along Highway S in the vicinity of the intersection of Highway N. Those improvements haven't been completed yet. We're still in the engineering phase of completing that. We are obligated under the memorandum of understanding to complete that project, but in exchange for Kenosha County investing in that project, the city of Kenosha agreed to take jurisdiction of this section of Highway S, and that was approved in the memorandum of understanding. The approval of the transfer by the county board and the city council just has not taken place yet. So what we would be doing is following up on an agreement that was previously executed, and the actual transfers are only approved by the DOT on January 1st of each year. So if approved by the county boards and city council effective January 1st, 2016, that would become a city street. The second segment of Highway N between I-94 and 128th Avenue is very similar in that it's related to a development that is currently underway between Highway 142 and Highway N along the west side of I-94. U-Line is building a rather large building, and there's divided and available for other businesses to locate there in the future. The segment of Highway N through the transportation analysis that was completed by the developer, it was recommended that it be reconstructed as an urban roadway in addition and be built to city street standards. In addition, the sewer and water from the city of Kenosha needs to be extended down Highway N. And in light of those recommendations and those requirements, the city of Kenosha and their staff and county staff have thought it would be in everyone's best interest that it just become a city street and that it be maintained as a, built and maintained as a city street in the future. So this resolution also includes that segment of Highway N so that again, if approved by county board and city council, it would become a it would come under the jurisdiction of the city of Kenosha beginning January 1st of next year. So in some respect, we're cleaning up a little bit of work that from the past, and we're also initiating some in the case of Highway N, a transfer that will be forthcoming as the development proceeds. And I, from a county highway standpoint, I would certainly recommend that these move forward. It's certainly in our best interest to lighten the maintenance requirements that we're under, particularly associated in with the developments that are occurring in this area, and I'm gonna be talking a little bit in more detail about that under my reports.
So any questions on this agreement or this resolution? Okay.
Yes, question. Just to kind of refresh our collective memories, if we take a look at N from County S to the interstate, that's already been deeded over to the city, correct?
That is, yes, that jurisdictional transfer was approved by the county a number of years ago.
Right, we did the Gordon Foods thing, we built it to a certain standard, and they took over all interest in that.
Correct.
So what now is occurring at the intersection of S and N? There's still further engineering, and could you tell us on that?
Yes, sure. There's an improvement project that was identified in the traffic analysis for the Amazon project to reconstruct that intersection to, right now it's at a skewed angle, and the recommendation was to reconstruct just the right at the intersection to become a more a 90 degree angle intersection.
Signalized?
Not signalized at this time, but there would be additional turn lanes on both on Highway S and on Highway N to accommodate the traffic. One of the reason that that project has not moved forward until this time was we also currently have a project to reconstruct Highway S from Highway H to Highway 31, and that project actually impact the design of this Highway S and N project because of the extensive transitions that's required from a four-lane divided road to back down to a two-lane road. So we did not want to proceed with this S and N intersection design and construction until we were absolutely certain that we weren't conflicting with the other project, and we did actually determine that we were going to have conflict with the two projects, so we worked out the details of which project was gonna do what improvements, and now everything's in place to move forward.
So from H to 31, that is proposed to be reconfigured in one construction year?
2019.
That'll go to four lanes?
Correct.
The other question is, when we take a look at County S, Washington Road, from 39th to Green Bay Road, the proposal is deed that over to the city. That'll become their responsibility from this point forward. The Green Bay Road in and of itself is a state highway, right?
Correct.
So we do maintenance on that.
Correct.
We reimburse for it.
Correct.
But it's still the state's baby in terms of that intersection. That's still gonna be, how's that gonna play out?
The project that we have currently to rebuild S from 31 to Highway H does not include the intersection at Highway 31. It specifically ends at Brumback Avenue, which is the intersection that goes into Walmart. It does include that intersection, and then the pretty much the area in between Brumback and 31 would by default need to be reconstructed, because it's actually, it would be considered a component of the Brumback intersection, but not the intersection at 31, anything to do with the signals. We actually are going to, we have a resurfacing project to resurface the intersection at Highway 31 this year yet, but that would be the extent of the improvements in the state's funding that.
And you said the construction for that four-lane expansion, two four-lanes in 2019?
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's my question.
Any other questions for this?
Yeah. I drove out there and I've seen some of the development they want to do. I know, and that's going to need to be expanded with all the new traffic and everything. This also looks like there's going to be excess traffic on K and 128th Avenue from the looks of the schematics they have right now. Is there any plans to do that as of right now, or even transfer those to the city?
Right now, the latest plan I have heard is that they're going to extend 128th Avenue from Highway N to Highway 142. That will be rebuilt, that will be built, that will be a new road extended. And that will be a city street. There currently are no plans for any improvements of existing 128th Avenue.
Okay.
There are plans to extend 128th Avenue south from Highway K to Highway 50.
Okay.
But those are, I don't think there is a firm schedule for that extension.
Okay.
The one between N and 142 is definitely scheduled for either late this year or early next year.
Okay.
Anything else for Gary? And Gary, this all also sits in the hands of Paris and Kenosha having an agreement for
correct
a little piece of that, right?
Correct. Yes. There's a little work that needs to be done between the other municipalities before it could get approved by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. But by our action, or by your action, our part will be complete, and then we just wait and let the other parties figure out whatever needs to be figured out on their part. It has no influence on anything that we are doing here as part of this approval.
And any action we take here, if they don't have their agreement, any action we take is just null and void till they do.
Correct.
Well, it's a three-step. It has to be us, the city, and then what, DOT?
DOT.
Okay. Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the resolution. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Oh, by the way, this does need to go to the finance committee too.
So then, whenever you're ready, Gary.
Wanted to bring up a few things under reports. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of detail tonight. I'm certainly going to hear a lot more about this subject in the future. But it basically has to do with the workload involved in the Division of Highways and our ability to provide the level of service that we feel is required for a lot of changing conditions, and a lot of those changing conditions have to do with the development that's occurring. I guess it's very fortunate that we've had a lot of new businesses that have opened or are being planned. But along with that, the level of service that we're required to provide to support these businesses also increases. And it's particularly important because of the type of businesses that are opening, a lot having to do with trucking, on-time trucking, but not just the trucks, it's also the employees. These businesses operate 24/7 every day of the year. The employees are coming and going. The traditional shift changes that people had in the past don't occur any longer. For example, Amazon has a shift change once every 2 hours for their employees. We recognize that we have to also provide service during those time periods that the businesses are operating. So we know that the state has already completed a study and has determined that we are short of the number of employees that they would like to see working on the state highways. We'll be talking, like I said, in more detail in the future, particularly when it comes to looking at the highway budget. But we're going to have to look at increasing the staff, and not just in the area of the state highways. It's also in county highways. We're fortunate that both the state and the local municipalities have asked that we provide additional services to them in areas more related to construction activities than just maintenance activities. It does provide additional revenue to help support the entire operation, and it's very valuable to us. Some examples: just recently, The DOT issued a work order for us to re-shoulder all of Highway 50 from Paddock Lake all the way to the Walworth County line, which is four lanes of shoulder that needs to be redone, which is basically hauling in new gravel and re-shouldering the entire segment of highway. They've asked us to re-seal all the concrete on all of the new bridges on the interstate, which is a huge job because you can basically only do half of one bridge per day because of all the traffic control that's associated with this. So a lot of man hours involved in that. And then we just got another agreement for another $120,000 worth of asphalt paving that they want us to do. So we're getting a lot of work thrown at us that kind of a little bit unexpected. It's unexpected, but it's not something that is a one-time occurrence. In the new state budget for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, in areas of maintenance, the numbers actually have gone up. So, you know, you hear a lot of negative about reducing the DOT's budget, and that's true, but it's all in the projects area. In the maintenance area that we're involved in, the numbers are actually up. So you know, this is not a one-time occurrence of these additional funds coming our way for these projects, and they're good projects. You know, these are much needed projects. They're not, it's not like they're just throwing money out there to, you know, just because they have it. They're both the state and the counties being very careful about prioritizing what work gets done, and we're gonna make sure that those additional funds get used appropriately. Also on the municipal end, town of Wheatland has asphalt paving for us to do. They've got a rather large drainage improvement project we need to do. Town of Paris has asphalt paving project for us. A lot of work, and we are getting by right now, mostly because we have seasonal workers during the summer, but we're going to be losing those seasonal workers in just a couple weeks because they're all kids that are going to be going back to school. So we also have employees that are on ANS, so we're down some employees, some of our regular employees, and we're going to be looking at some way to help on an interim basis to get through the rest of this year, possibly with some additional seasonal or temporary workers to try to get us through this period of this influx of projects. Like I said, I don't have all the exact details of how we're going to accomplish all this, but I will and be able to provide all that information in the future. But it's, I guess it's a good position to be in that that people value the services we can provide, and it's good that it provides tremendous amount of revenue to our operations, but we can't accomplish those tasks without the proper resources and staffing. So we're going to be looking at whatever means possible to get through this both on a short-term basis and then a long-term basis with possible increases in staff.
It's a very simple proposition for the committee and then for the county board, and then it'll be for the finance committee at budget time. This fall, we'll be looking at some budget modifications. We will have an influx of revenue to cover those budget modifications, but we will be more likely hiring either temporary or part-time people. All this is revenue and work that we did not know we had when the season started. That's a good position,
it's a good
very
thing.
Good in any business, but you have to also have workforce.
Just a thing to think about, we look at the way this county is growing in leaps and bounds in many regards. Really, the idea of having additional personnel is just the tip of the iceberg. You talk about the equipment, as time goes on, you talk about infrastructure. When you look at what we have in place here at Highway 1545, just from a Howie perspective, if we had to have so much more percentage capacity for both new construction and maintenance of the road system we have, how much more can we do here at this location? We have quite a bit of capacity in terms of just physical size and ability, 4 extra trucks, 4 extra papers, 4 extra stuff. Where are we at?
We don't. We're over capacity right now. In fact, we don't even have enough storage for everything to be inside any longer. We've been shuffling equipment different areas. Like we've had some buildings out at the Wilmot pit. We can store things in. We put things in the salt shed on Highway 158 occasionally, but. There is not capacity in this facility to house our equipment cover any longer.
We're at the capacity right now. So the shop must be bottled up at times in, trying to get stuff in and out for repairs and so forth.
Yeah, the shop is a little bit more manageable because you can schedule things and maybe postpone some preventive maintenance type things. We don't like to do that, but it at least that end is a little bit manageable. The fact that there just is not enough building to store trucks and equipment is a little bit more concerning, and it's something that most definitely needs to be looked at in the future. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if expanding the facility here is the answer or doing something elsewhere. I mean, someone with a lot more expertise than me would need to figure that out. But I can tell you that, right now we're over capacity with our storage.
Just from one last question, I'll let you go. If we were to decide upon an expansion was good, we wanted this footprint, we wanted this campus to shoulder additional responsibility, do we have the space for it? Physical space? Or
oh, yes. Yeah, there's plenty of.
We've got a lot of land back here.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, there's. In this location for our operation is absolutely ideal. You could not pick a better location in Kenosha County than right here for our highway operation.
This is the geographic center.
Correct. Yeah. The only thing that would be helpful is maybe some satellite salt sheds, but otherwise this is ideal.
Thank you, Gary. Very informative. We'll start preparing everybody, so
we'll be talking more further.
We'll move on to Jonathan Rudy.
What I brought to you tonight again is the compliance annual maintenance report for the wastewater treatment plant that we have up at Brightdale. Every year I fill this report out, and every year we've been doing really well. We've been running a 4.0 for a grade average. This year, under the section of ponds, we got a B, so we're down to a 3.81. It's got nothing to do with the operator. What they did this time, they changed the pond section, and they're asking if we're metering. In the process, there's the plant, and then there's what we call a polishing pond. Everything comes out of the plant, into the pond, and if there's any suspended solids, it gives it another chance to settle out before it goes out into the irrigation moats. What they're asking is for us to meter coming into that pond and going out, which we do. We have a flow meter at the far end of the plant for effluent, but we don't have anything on the outfall end of that pond. So I don't believe we have to have, but I don't think we can ever go back to getting an A unless we do install something. And I don't, I just don't believe that with the small little plant that we have that that's really ever going to be required. So they asked, the reason they want that, they want to know how much water is disappearing from that polishing pond through evaporation. I just, you know, it just doesn't seem like something that's really important or critical to that small of an operation. Maybe it is to these folks that have, you know, 50-acre ponds, but we don't. So that being said, I do have this committee approve this report before I can submit it to the DNR. So that's all I'm asking for. If you have any questions on the report itself, I can answer them.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Move and second to approve. Any discussion? We have 8 A's and a B. I think we have a good average there. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Do we have to sign something?
No. Just vote on it. I usually send a copy of the minutes. I have nothing on the Pringle Nature Center for this month, last month. At Katy Park, after Andrew Struthers, there's a gentleman that's doing some sustainable education in Katy Park. I think he was doing 3 sessions. One was, he did actually did a fishing day for kids up there, and then he did one where he talked about sustainability. He's got one more to go. But anyway, since he's been there, we've noticed an increase. People are noticing the park, so that we're getting a larger number of visitors into KD. The other thing is I wanted to talk to you about, let you know about up there, is that the youth crew and our staff, as part of the grant we got from the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust to kill off 9 acres of the Phragmites, we are responsible at this point, after they killed it last fall, to knock it down so they could come in and apply again at the end of August and kill it off. And the youth crew and our staff did that. So we're ready to go for the second application, and that should be the end of it. And then they'll come, the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust will come back in and reseed that to something more native than Phragmites, which isn't native. We do have to give them our match in labor and machinery, and Matt put that together already for them. But the project list, we were installing the lights down here today, so Matt took a few photos to show you. That one is crooked, but then they were working on it, so it's not an optical illusion. The lights were short. We're supposed to have 18. We only received 15. The other 3 are on their way. Other than that, the landscaper did a really bad job down there landscaping, and we met with Payne and Dolan out there, and they're bringing him back in, hopefully. They said to do it right this time, because it's really bad. That's unacceptable. Other than that, I think everything down there is going pretty good. Redale lift station is complete. The only thing I'm waiting on is for them to give me the operation and maintenance manuals. The Fox River shop, the steel is on its way here. The panels were, I don't know what you say, formed, built, made?
Fabricated.
Thank you, Ray. So they're on the way. They expect to have those somewhere here midweek and get started on that. No change on the emerald ash borer tree removal. No change on the Silver Lake Mountain bike trails. Again, the summer youth crew did work a little bit on them, but not much. They've been working on the disc golf course. The Ho-Chunk property, no change. The Veterans Memorial, which is the cannon, there's no change there.
the burning down the one building at Petrifying Springs, the Bugman building. We have nothing there. I should be hearing, getting kind of a heads up from the DNR in the very near future about the two grants we have in, the one for the roads and parking lots in KD, and the other one for the mountain bike trails, because they are reviewing those in June and July, and usually they'll give us a heads up right around the end of July or thereabouts. But they said I know they were backlogged trying to get through them. The Silver Lake well, the pump went out of it. That's a 1,200 foot deep well and a 6-inch casing. We tried to pull that pump, and that well casing was so scaled up, the pump, we couldn't get it up. So I think we got 400 feet of pipe up. They cut the pipe and they dropped it to the bottom of the 1,200 feet, which isn't something that's abnormal. That does happen. I mean, a lot of times they'll lose a pump and they'll go down there and they're down there forever. So then they came back with the right size pump. We tried to put that down. It wouldn't go. That well casing on the inside was so rusty, it would not fit. They brushed it, they acid washed it, couldn't get it down. So we had to put a little bit smaller diameter pump down there. But the end of the moral of the story here is that whole process and the pump and everything cost us $21,000 to get that well back up and running. But that well does serve the entire park, Silver Lake Park. The Civilian Conservation Corps statue is on its way. It's cast and coming for Fox River Park. We've been talking tentatively about somewhere around the end of September for a dedication. We'll have to pour the base and build the base for it, but it's a life-size statue of a Civilian Conservation Corps worker. The Rokon Trail Breaker, which was the piece of machinery for grooming the mountain bike trails, that's ordered, and that'll be here tomorrow. And the Summer Youth Crew, I got a couple pictures here. They cleaned up around the old WPA bleachers and the ball diamond at Petrifying Springs and planted some shrubs and chipped it up. And cleaned that off. That was all buckthorn on the back side of it, and that was looking pretty bad. They've done a lot of things for us this year. I mean, the work goes on here. I kind of gave you a list at Pets. They painted playground equipment. They painted the fence in Area 5. They built a rock garden by the flagpole. They dug up and repaired a 12-inch tile line on the south ball diamond. They've been cleaning out and filling in stump holes. They fixed washouts on the trails. They worked on grounds cleanup. And they've been planting trees and shrubs. They've been getting a lot done there. And then out on the west end, they've been working on the back nine of on the disc golf course at Silver Lake. They helped knock down 9 acres of Phragmites at KD, and a lot of that was on the side hill where no machinery could get. So that was all handwork. So that's pretty good work out there for them too. We just had them clean off the vegetation off the rock wall in the front of Fox River Park. So that's all tidied up when we get to putting the statue in. They've been edging trails and lawn areas, leveling tee pads on the disc golf course, and have done playground maintenance and planted trees out there. And that's all I have. But they've been a really good crew this year again. You know, Matt did go work with them. They were a little bit unmotivated, and Matt's had talks with them off and on this summer.
Where have they been congregating? I haven't seen them
at KD?
Yeah.
What happened there was, they had a couple bad eggs, and they decided the best way to deal with that was segregate them out and put them at hard labor. So they split them up and took a few over there.
I mean, in the morning, that's where they used to meet. I haven't seen them.
Oh, no. Now they're at Silver Lake. That's kind of their main place.
Okay.
And then there, a few were dropped at Fox River as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John. Any questions? That well was a big deal. We're trying to have water at the 4th of July, and water that people could use, and it was an ordeal. But it's all over, hopefully.
And that's how deep is that well out there?
1,200 feet.
Oh my goodness, wow, that's really...
So we figured the pump was hanging somewhere, I think around 700 foot in it. So, but, you know, I think we went from, I want to say 70 gallons a minute to 50, which is okay. That's still 70 gallons was way more than we needed. So we're good. But that was a problem.
Okay, thank you, John. We'll move on to golf, Dan.
Everything in golf is going pretty well right now. We are, our next big initiative is the Kenosha County Executive Cup, which will be Thursday, September 10th. You're all invited to play. I hope that you can get some people together and come out and have some fun. We did have the Kenosha County Open. That was the 24th through the 26th. It was a great event. A couple years ago, we had like 36 or something get into it. Then last year, we had like 64, and this year, we had 86. So we're really building that back up. We had a really nice cooperative effort to promote it with the Kenosha News. They really put some good advertising in. I've listed the winners there. We also had the Ladies County Open. It was at Petrifying Springs and Twin Lakes this year, and they were down a little bit in numbers. And then our Junior County Open was at Brightondale for 4 days, and that was a really good event too. So a lot of fun there. The Junior Golf Program, we have one more week of that this week. We have about 100 participants in this one. So that's going really well. I think all the kids are really having a good time, and we're trying to, you know, get some good information into them, which we're repeating things over and over and over again so that they understand that. But the PGA Junior League also was won by Brightondale again, third year in a row that we won our league. Now they're going to go on to the All-Stars and going to play the Lake Geneva League at Geneva National, I think this weekend. The Caddy and Leadership Program is going great. We're going to have the PGA Outreach, which is the branch of the PGA that does the beneficiary stuff, and two of the head people from the PGA Outreach are coming on Friday to play golf with the caddy. Everybody seems to really be enjoying having them, both the players and the caddies themselves. A lot of great comments about that, so that's really going well. The golf courses are in tremendous condition. I mean, everybody has really been enjoying the conditions this year and have been telling me about it, so that's great. Biggest problem that we have, especially now, is our food and beverage staff at Petrifying Springs is totally being wiped out with school going back and the manager leaving. You know, we're really, really struggling over there. We have some major issues that we're trying to overcome with, you know, trying to get some applicants in. We're working with Gateway and Parkside and Carthage to try and find even returning students that have some culinary experience that we can fill in. You know, this is 4 years in a row that we've lost our food and beverage manager, and it's the first one that we've lost it this early. She's leaving Friday. It's her last day, so that's definitely a challenge there. Projects that we're working on, I don't know if the highway department will have enough time to do our projects over there for the paving. As far as the deep well goes, we're working with CUNY Architecture and getting some bid specs together on that. Our well is 1,810 feet deep. Our pump is at about 1,200 feet. It was originally pumping about 500 gallons a minute, and now it's down to about 350. There's really nothing wrong with it, but we just are feeling that it's a lot better to be proactive on this than reactive. Like I said, we're down about a third of the capacity already, so if we lose that, you know, we lose the ability to fill Juniper Lake, which lose then the ability to irrigate the golf course. So we're trying to do this on a preventative project and make sure that we're not going to have any problems in the future irrigating the golf courses. So we're working on that. And then we installed the new fence along the wastewater treatment plant, and now we're installing some new equipment in the plant itself, but we're really having struggles with that flow meter that John was talking about in the report there. You know, that thing is, we got to reset it every single time to try and get the information of the flow into the plant. So that's a problem that we might have to look at, and is definitely in the budget for next year. So we had one piece of equipment that really
Had a hard time this last week, and that we're getting quotes on fixing that too now. So that's about what we have going in golf.
Any questions for Dan? Well, thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.
May we continue this good stretch of weather?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll move on to Mike, facilities, operations.
Last month we rolled out the Energy Team project spreadsheet. Did that go out?
It did.
With the, so everybody's got that. There's just
basically
some minor updates to three of the projects on there. Two of them we were doing photometric studies and those came in, so those are being reviewed right now for recommended fixtures. And then we're gonna see costs on the on those fixtures and see where we're at with the budget. One of the projects on there that we had talked about a couple months ago, we were looking at updating combustion controls on boiler. You had asked about that with the return on investment. And we had a second look at the ROI and it was confirmed it was actually worse than the 13.7 years that we originally thought it was. So we have canceled that right out. So that one's done. Other projects outside of that, the job center, we had the project to remodel the daycare center. Bids came in at that. We were hoping for about $30,000. They came in at $36,000. No money to upgrade that and do the work, so that's going to be pushed to next year. Next year there's another phase, so it'll just be folded into that and do everything all at once. At the detention center, we have frequency drives being added to circulation pumps. That was a $23,000 projected project. We had gotten quotes on that and they came in favorable, so we had a pre-construction meeting and right now a schedule for the work is being set up, so that'll get going pretty soon. At the pretrial building, we've got two padded holding cells that have to be repadded. That was a project that had $20,000 in the budget and it was upgraded to $65,000 and approved by finance last month. So where that is right now is at the bidding stage. We're getting the specs finalized for that and then we'll be putting that out for bid. The safety building, we have replacing all the roof exhaust fans, and that one was actually put out for bid, or quote, I guess, and it was a $28,000 projection. It came in at $22.50, so that was pretty good. Contract's been awarded to a company called Just Service, and 722, and they're going to start soon. So those are the project updates.
Very good. Nice one. Well, not nice when one came in over. We had to postpone it, but it went under. And as long as we can put that together, another bid for next year. Any questions? Hey, Frank. Projects.
Demolition projects. The old unemployment building is no more. It was completely down and completely filled in. We finished that up on July 24th. Talk about the actual parking lot project next, but the Zanani, old Zanani property also completely taken down. That one's done with the exception of we have to replace some sidewalks there and some curbs and getting that scheduled with Oaks. The Brookside house that was also part of that bid, that'll be done in September. That one was in a critical timeline. Questions on that?
That's a demo on the Brookside house?
Yes. Yeah, we were able to save some money by packaging it all together and quoting them all together. Administration building, parking lot improvement project. We finished the unemployment building demolition on the 24th, and we actually started with the construction project today. So Rash Construction received the contract. And so actually right now we're 1 week ahead of schedule, their starting date. So that's looking pretty good and we should be finished in October with that.
Frank, who's gonna be designated for that parking lot? How's that one gonna work? It's gonna be open?
It's gonna be primarily, it's gonna be primarily administrative staff for that Civic Center campus. There's also going to be open parking, but it's open parking more so for folks coming from the area or from the satellite. If they got meetings downtown, right now it's difficult for them to find parking.
Right.
The goal is if we can get some of that straightened out, there should be more than enough parking in the front of the buildings that's designated as 1 hour or 2 hour parking, depending on where it is.
Right.
That's the goal, is to free that up, get people out of those parking, because the number of people that park down there, myself included, if I got a meeting on the street, is pretty high. So the goal is to kind of get all that stuff off the street so all that street parking is available for the public.
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
Is it going to be reserved?
It's going to be reserved. Some of it will be assigned like it was before, where there'll be designated parking spots, and there'll be other spots that are just designated as for staff coming in from other buildings for meetings and whatever else.
Yeah.
But it won't be assigned to people. There'll be some chunk of that that'll be assigned to folks from other buildings. They can use it when they're down there doing right. business.
Yeah, that's how it's been a pain in the neck.
It has. It's one of the reasons we went back and forth. You know, what are we really going to use this thing for? And ultimately, when you really think it through, it probably makes the most sense to get all those county people off the street so that all those street parking is available for the public and we're not crowding them out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the goal.
Great.
Okay.
That's it, huh?
Well, I'll go down to Brookside. We had a door and wander management project there. This was important. The patients that have dementia there, or people that try to escape, literally. Their old system was really on its last legs, and did a whole RFP process and settled on a company called SecureCare. And really what it's a wristband or an ankle bracelet. And the system is by all the exits, and if one of these patients gets near an exit, it sends an alarm. It starts to beep, and if they actually go through the door, it sets off an alarm. And the system, leveraging what we already had, we had pictures of each patient in there. We actually have it tied to each wristband's ID, and the picture will pop up at the nurse's station, you know, saying this person's actually escaped, and this is where they escaped from, so they know where to go and who they're looking for.
Let's not use the term escape.
Right. Oh, sorry.
I like what they call it. They call it wander.
Yes, wander.
Yeah, they call it wander. Yes.
Yeah. Escape would be like at the PSB, okay? It's a whole different thing.
That's true. That's the nomenclature they use when they're in the industry, so sorry. Kind of got used
no
to that now.
Terminology. My dad escaped twice.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't say wander, did they?
No.
Sound like one of my
wife.
You're
trying to get out. He made it.
How many times did he come back, John?
He's been twice within a block. Yeah.
It's amazing that they describe how resourceful people are. When they want to get out or find other doors or find, so we hit, it was
you've been an
independent
person your whole life, some of that will flash back every once in a while.
Oh, no doubt. And I, quite honestly, I can sympathize, but for their safety. Actually, before the system got in, they found somebody down by Bradford wandering out, and when it's 20 below zero, that's not what you want to happen.
Had a bit of that smoke shot, though.
Probably can't smoke with those facility, yeah.
So
we had a new screen.
Yeah. So we just finished with that last Friday. We have a state inspection this Friday to bless it all. We upgraded the emergency exit doors at the same time. They always had a problem in there with there's a requirement from the state that you need no more than 15 pounds of pressure. Well, first of all, you have to engage the handle and it has to count down 15 seconds and then it lets you go, but then at the end of the 15 seconds, it needs no more than 15 pounds of pressure to open it. Well, the old system, depending on if the wind was blowing on the outside or if the space pressure's on the inside, they'd have to go around literally and adjust them right in front of the inspector without the inspector seeing them. This one,
we took all that out, so it saves manpower, saves time, and they're not worried about citation. So that was all done, and that system was original, so it needed to be changed. So all around, it was a very needed and a very good solution for Brookside. And that's it.
Very good. Thank you, Frank. Ray, you've got a few items?
Yeah, I'll pass out a couple of things quick. I got an update on the Brookside project, and then I've got a little overview of a loss of power situation we had a couple weeks back that I want to just make the committee aware of in case they hear of information kind of at other committees or on the board. Because there was actually quite a bit of, I won't say misinformation, but it was misinterpreted information, and I think we've got a pretty good handle on exactly what happened now. So I just want to make sure the record's kind of straight. So on the Brookside piece, we are right on track with the design and development for the project, the what they call the developmental design drawings, DD level drawings. That's kind of the phase two. We had schematic drawings as always the first level, kind of concept drawings. This is the second phase where all the space needs are really tightly defined, physical layout of where stuff is going to occur, basic HVAC, mechanicals, electrical, all that infrastructure is at least designed or defined conceptually. And then the third phase that we just started, we're going to move into this week, is actually creating the construction bid level documents. So all the plans were developed right on time. They were projected to be July 20th, and they were done the 21st. Kamozi is working actually to update now the project budget. It'll take them probably a couple more weeks to get that done, but it'll be now based on, as these drawings get refined, you're then able to refine the budget. The more detail you get to your drawings, the more detail you can get to your budget. So we're going to have that in mid-August. The two-phase design versus the original four-phase design is definitely the route that we're planning on going down. The state is very supportive of this. Staff is very supportive. Two-phase will result in increased resident safety, shorter duration of disruption, more efficient construction process. But there is going to be some packaging and messaging that we're going to have to create for that, because what it is going to require is that we're going to have to double bunk. We're going to have two folks per room in the new construction when it's complete. And then we'll be able to empty all of the existing building and go in and kind of have at it. That's the basic difference between what was originally talked about and what we're planning on doing now. It, from a safety standpoint, that was the biggest thing the state, when they came down, they met with us, all staff, and they were like gung-ho right away, because they know each phase, when you do one of these projects in our environment, for each phase, you have to create a new life safety plan to define in great detail how everything is going to be handled and managed during each of those processes. And when you go from four phases to two phases, greatly increases the safety factor for things. So that's something that we're not officially rolling that out till we get a little further along here, but again, it's in that stage where at least the committee needs to be aware of kind of what we're planning on doing. Site work. We held out some hope that we were going to do some site work yet this fall, and we decided against it just last week. We'd have to push really hard to get our site work prints, specs, and approvals complete, which we could do, but given the general level of site work contractors right now, these guys are all swamped. So if we busted our butt and got all this stuff squared away and we went out for bid, we're not going to be doing ourselves any favor, because everybody would have to try to shoehorn it into their already fairly packed schedule. So we decided against it. There just wouldn't be a real advantage to doing that this year. It may still be advantageous to put the new outbuilding, the storage shed, up. To actually a point that Gary mentioned earlier in the meeting, there's stuff being stored out here in the one building that is, some of it is Brookside stuff, some of it's Sheriff stuff, and that's one of the things we want to be able to do, is migrate some of the stuff that's here back to more appropriate places closer to the point of use, so that we can free up some space here, much needed for what's going on out here. So that may happen yet this year. And then we are planning
talked with the county exec. We met with him last week to bring him up to speed with the kind of where we're at with the project. And his plan is that we're going to put together a full board presentation later this fall. He's not sure exact timing of it compared to when we got to do the budget and everything else, but later this fall we'll be bringing, prior to us going to a full bid level type documents, going to the board and giving them an update on the whole project with pictures and details and all that kind of stuff. So that will be coming later this fall. That's pretty much it on Brookside.
Now this proposal for double bunking at Brookside, you're envisioning what length of time and what number of rooms or beds? Do you have a handle on that?
Yeah, the basic concept is this, that we complete the new construction,
right,
and then take all folks that were in the facility, existing facility, move them in there. All the rooms in the new construction only had to be, we only had to add 3 additional foot because they were pretty generously sized to begin with to meet the requirements to have 2 beds per room. Length of time, right now we're talking, it's probably going to be somewhere between 6 and 9 months. So it's not, the trade-off was this. If we went from about a 2-year building to close to 4 years, if we do the 4 phase, and then literally the way it was phased out, you know, there'd be one wing, one of the existing wings that there'd still be folks in, and literally the wing next to it would be getting hammered and drywalled and everything else going on. And there's significant work that's going to have to take place in the hubs where those spokes for each wing kind of flares off of. You could do it, but it would be really disruptive to staff and, more importantly, to folks there, because it would be for a much longer period of time.
Pretty messy. If we're taking, you're basically saying taking the entire existing population of Brookside and double bunking it. Is that the plan?
Yeah, it would be. I don't know that level of detail yet,
okay.
Bill. We just haven't got. But that the basic concept is to empty out the existing building. There's going to be plenty of space in the new space to accommodate that. Plenty of kitchen. Plenty of infrastructure to cover all that stuff. But I don't know the exact head count, like how it would be distributed. And it's just not to that level of detail.
But then the proposal is to, if I understand this correctly, take it from a 4-year cycle down to a 3-year cycle?
Roughly a 4-year. Yeah, I think it was like 42 months or something like that was the original concept. And now it'll be, if we can break ground in the spring, which is we're on track to do, then we'd be substantially complete by spring of 18.
Now, is this something we came up with? Administration, was this the contractor?
It was kind of a combination. It was the Camozzi definitely brought it up. The architects really not so much. They weren't as concerned, but the contractor and staff, it was kind of a joint, kind of a, is there something we can do early on here to help make this easier on folks? Even though it'll be a little more disruptive in the short term, not a little more, I think it's probably still going to be less disruptive, but you know, everybody has a single room right now, so it will be a change, a cultural change for about 6 to 9 months, but in the long run, it's going to be a much, much better and a much safer way to handle the project, I think.
And for a business model, we'll be able to add new patients much quicker.
Right. You have less right. Fixed costs because you're chopping over a year off.
Right.
That's, yeah, from a revenue standpoint, it's a
right.
It's a
and that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I know we're also looking to be compassionate and things, but
right.
This was sold to the county board as a business prospect
right.
proposition, and it can't be a money losing proposition. It wouldn't have made sense to phase into this new business, really.
Good. All right. Thanks.
So that was it. I'll try to make the loss of electricity thing brief, but you guys know me well enough to know that that's hard for me to do. So, but I think it is important that you guys are aware of this because, like I say, one of our most significant buildings was affected. On 713, there was a decent chunk of the city that lost power. We lost power in the county and kind of some little islands, but it was no big deal. In town, it was pretty significant. It was a Monday morning. Kenosha County Job Center lost complete power at about 6 o'clock in the morning. The Civic Center campus, specifically the courthouse, the public safety building, and pretrial not KCAB and not Molinaro, but those three buildings there lost partial power. So it was even goofier. It's not like they lost complete power and everybody kind of would understand that. But because there were two legs of the three-phase power coming into the building that were damaged, it caused some very odd things to happen in those buildings. And people then jumped to a lot of different kinds of conclusions, and most of which were erroneous, but it caused some decisions to be made and some things. It was kind of a screwy situation. And unfortunately, the safety building didn't get power fully restored until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The job center had it back at 10 in the morning. Something else that's a little known fact was that the Kenosha Water Utility on 3rd Avenue was completely down from 6 until 10 o'clock in the morning. They have two separate services coming into that building. They both happen to be, one of them is the one that serves the job center, and one is the one that serves the courthouse. So it's the first time that that building's ever lost complete power to it. So it was kind of a very significant and odd event. Things we learned from it, because there was quite a bit that we learned. The job center does not have a generator. We knew that. Actually, in 2015, we were planning on putting a small generator in just to cover some real basic IT infrastructure. This event, we're taking a step back from that. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to look at what really makes sense in that building from a life safety standpoint to maintain. There's some public health stuff that goes on in there. There's some life safety kinds of lines that I guess are statutorily required to be manned 24/7. Some of that stuff was disrupted. They had to take vaccines from the health department and bring them out here to refrigeration units. So there was things that weren't, there's basic things that need to be covered. So we're going to look at that. We're not going to be getting all nutsed up about it, but we're going to take a strategic look and see what makes sense and propose that in the 2016 budget. Communication, our internal communication, although everybody was well-intentioned, it really wasn't well-executed. We're working on, between facility staff, building management, building staff that work in the buildings, customers coming into the buildings, and We Energies, it was just not real good. So we've already had two meetings with a couple different groups of folks, and by the end of September, we'll have something in place that at least provides a much more effective way to manage these situations going forward. So that'll happen. Public safety building generators, they both performed exactly as they were supposed to, and based on what we know at this point. The new one put in 2010 when we put the addition on the safety building worked great, and no strain, no pain. The 1980 vintage generator also worked well for that 8-hour period, or 8-hour period of time. But when we went to do a test run of it the next week, we couldn't fire it up. It's a 30-plus-year-old generator. It's in great condition, but because of its age, getting any OEM-type parts for it is, if not impossible, next to impossible. So we were able to, Mike and his staff were able to identify the component that was on the Fritz, and it was something that you could buy on a commodity-type level. It's not an OEM part. It doesn't matter for what it does. They got that in, and we were able to get the thing back up and running. We did bring in a generator on a trailer, though, while that one was down, in the event something happened. Again, just getting it on the radar, it's not something, unless we find out something is really tragic with that thing, we're not proposing anything else for 2015, but we are going to look at what it's going to take to replace that thing in 2016. And like I say, it's in really good condition, but we just can't get parts for it. So it's kind of, we're looking at some different things. We're looking at potentially retrofitting it with some things. I don't know that that's going to happen, but we're going to look at that.
Yes. Question on those generators. Are these diesel or natural gas powered?
Those are diesel. The ones that we've got at Brookside, in fact, just about all our generators are diesel with the exception of one by the 60th Street Communications Tower that we just put up. There's two schools of thought on that. And I believe the last time I looked into it when we were doing the safety building addition, because I was looking at natural gas, there was specific rules or guidelines that we had to follow in that type of building that because of, even though the natural gas grid is much more robust than the electrical grid, it still isn't fully independent. And so if there were an event that somehow the natural gas grid was affected, then the building wouldn't have what it needed to keep going. So that's why diesel's been specified for like at Brookside and then at the safety building and the detention center for sure.
So, okay, thank you very much.
That's pretty much it.
Good deal.
There's two other little things. We still are looking at the pre-trial building. I mentioned it a few meetings ago. I finally was able to find some of the drawings we needed for that building from 1998. So we're doing a structural review to see what the cracking on the facade of all the precast panels there, if it's a major issue or if it is just a natural part of the aging process. So we're looking into that. And then the lattice tower that's mounted on the center of the roof of the public safety building, 128-foot tower, it's mounted actually to, there's a foundation in the roof that nobody really knows exactly what it's about. I had an engineer, I was crawling around with him Friday afternoon, and we're going to find out exactly what's going on there so that we can be sure that tower, because there's a need to put some additional equipment on that tower, and we just want to make sure we can do it safely. So we're looking at those things.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, everyone. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Move to second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.